It gives me really great pleasure to be with you this morning and to share the Word of God. What are we going to do today in the evening? We will visit one city in the Bible, in the New Testament, and we'll spend the whole day in that city to see really what happened there. And I'm sure there will be very practical, important lessons for all of us. So this city we're going to visit is in Acts chapter 16. You find all the verses actually on the screen. So you can follow them. I think this is easier way of doing this. In Acts 16, that's the start of the second journey of Paul. And let me just give you the background before we enter into this. After Paul was went from Antioch and visit Asia Minor and came back to give a report about his mission, he and Barnabas decided to visit again these towns and cities that they visited previously. In the first journey, they took with them Mark, but Mark in the middle decided to come back. We don't know why, really. Some people said there was illness. Other people said he found that the ministry is so hard, so he came back. So Barnabas, being the son of encouragement, said to Paul, "Let us take Mark with us." Paul said, "No chance. He didn't prove himself first time. I'm not sure he will be able to do it second time." And unfortunately, they departed company. Paul and Barnabas, great men of God, had a dispute and departed company. Actually, I'm delighted about that. Because what happened is, Barnabas encouraged Mark, and Mark came to Alexandria in Egypt. As you can guess from my accent, I'm not born in Glasgow. I'm from East Kilbride, actually. What happened is, Mark came down to Alexandria and started the Christian church there. And then Paul, later on in his writing, started to say, "Send Mark to me because he's useful in the work of the Lord." And I find that very encouraging. Even if we failed in our start walking with the Lord, we can be recovered again and we can be restored and we can be useful again in God's work. And that's really very encouraging. So don't be disappointed if you have failures in your life. Don't feel really, "No, I'm not really honoring the Lord as I should." Be encouraged, brother and sister, because the Lord is going to restore you and build you again. So that's the background of this second journey. So in the second journey, Paul really went with Silas and they found Timothy and they started their journey. So let us see what happened. Chapter 16, we will have it under three openings. And let us see what these openings are. God opened the way. Because there was lots of opposition and destruction and things. Really, you'll find the verses. God stopped them from preaching in one place. Can you imagine that? And we'll see why in a minute. So God opened the way. The second opening, God opened Lydia's heart. And that's amazing. And we'll see how important and strategic that lady played a role in the expansion of the gospel in Asia Minor. Then God opened the prison doors. So we have three openings in chapter 16. I'm sure most of us are familiar with this, but we'll follow the scripture and learn from the word of God. That's where we can get our strength. So I'll start with a map. And this map is the Mediterranean. And this is Palestine. And this is Asia Minor. And this is the first part of Europe, Macedonia. And Egypt will be down here. And no map is complete without knowing where is Edinburgh. Edinburgh will be somewhere here. So now we know where we are. But this is really the journey of Paul, the second journey. And he started again and started to visit all these places. So he came to Asia Minor here. And he wanted to go east to Bithynia in the north and in this area. But let us see what the verses are telling us. God opened the way. Paul tried to enter new territory for the Lord by traveling east in Asia Minor and Bithynia. But the Lord closed the doors. Wow. Do you like closed doors? I don't like them at all. But they are actually as important as the open doors because they are redirection. So God closed the doors for Paul. Imagine Paul himself and his team. God closed the doors. He doesn't want him to go to Asia at that point. Keep that in mind because it will become more interesting. God led Paul west into Europe. Imagine if Paul hadn't done this visit to Philippi, that's the city we are spending our day with in. Imagine if he hadn't taken the gospel to the first part of Europe. Probably we won't be here in Peoples after 2,000 years. So God closed the doors in Asia Minor and opened the doors for Paul and his companion, that's Silas, at that point, and then Luke joined them, to go to Europe through Macedonia, through Philippi. God's plans for the message to get to Asia Minor were fulfilled by another means. And we read in Peter about this greeting. The Apostle Peter later on, sending greeting to churches and see where they are. He's saying to God's elect, strangers in the world, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, this in Asia Minor, Cappadocia, I pronounce them differently because I learned them in Arabic, so you have just to cope with that. Asia and Bithynia, that's the area that he wanted to go to initially, and God closed the door. But God used other mechanisms and other ways to spread the gospel in Asia Minor, and he wanted Paul to travel to Macedonia and to start the Christian, expressing the Christian faith in Europe. So let us follow these verses. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. I find that verse very difficult to understand. They were in Asia, they wanted to speak about the Lord, but the Holy Spirit himself, who guides and leads, said, don't do it. I'm sure they were very sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Wow. They were really obeying God in not preaching in Asia Minor. Very difficult. Very difficult. Do you sometimes find it very difficult to hear the voice of the Lord? Do you sometimes think really puzzling that you don't understand why these things are happening? But wait to see the full picture, because it's beautiful as we will see it together now. Right. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. Wow. Another closed door. We talk about open doors, yes? Another closed door. He doesn't want them to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in Bithynia. And then see what happened. So, they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas, that's a port. I like their obedience, actually, because they kept going. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonian standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. Things start to brighten up now. They obeyed the closed doors in two occasions, and now Paul has a vision from the Lord, very clear vision of a Macedonian coming and asking to cross over to speak the word of God there. If you have an invitation like this, what would you expect? I expect a plain sailing from that point. Really. Because they have stopped preaching in two occasions, and now the Lord is guiding them into Macedonia, so it must be now plain sailing. None of that. So, they passed. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave to Macedonia. I like this at once, right? Because they have a clear vision from the Lord. They are going to go to the Macedonia. Now they have a clear vision. So at once they are responding, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So they went into Philippi. They crossed the sea and they came to Philippi. And let me just give you a background about this city. Philippi is named after the father of Alexander the Great. It was a Roman colony, and that means it has special tax privileges, and the people were mainly retired military Roman citizens who lived in this area. So they were posh. They were really, really advantaged people, and because they are retired military, is sort of protecting this area in the Roman Empire. So that's the background of the people that Paul is going to deal with. Then Paul entered into this city. What would you expect? I'll tell you the pattern of his preaching. He used to go to a new city. He finds the synagogue. And he go and preach on the Sabbath, and then people start to debate and people become Christians, some of them. Let me just explain something about synagogue as well. The Jewish nation have only one temple, and that's in Jerusalem. But when they spread over the land, they have synagogues, just a gathering place. They can't offer sacrifices at all in the synagogue. They just met together and read the Old Testament and some teaching and some singing, and that's all. But they can't offer sacrifices because there's only one temple in Jerusalem. So Paul's strategy usually, when he enters a new city, he goes to the synagogue and meet with the Christians, or with the Jews, and start to speak to them. But when he went to Philippi, by the command of the Lord, he didn't find a synagogue. Because in order to establish a synagogue, you need to have 10 Jewish men. There was not 10 Jewish men in Philippi. Is that a great success? Let us see what happened. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. If the Jews cannot find a synagogue, they go outside the city and they try to worship God in not a structured way as it is in synagogue. So that's the first really port of call, if you like. He didn't find a synagogue. He has to go outside the city to see what happens. We sat down and began to speak to women who had gathered there. There was just not enough men around to start a synagogue. They found some women coming around and they started to speak to them. One of those listening was a woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple clothes from the city of Thyatira. Wow, remember Thyatira in Asia Minor? That lady was visiting Philippi and he heard the word of God and she became a Christian and they took the message to Thyatira where Paul didn't enter earlier on. Can you see the beauty of that? Really, it is wonderful to be sensitive to God's call and listen to him and follow him. Even Paul was stopped twice in speaking in Asia Minor. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message, and she became a Christian, and she showed the evidence of that. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us for her home. And look at what she said. "If you consider me a believer in the Lord," she said, "come and stay at my house." And she persuaded us. She became a Christian. She was baptized with members of her household, and she invited Paul and Silas, and probably Luke at that stage as well, to her home. There was no synagogue in Philippi. Lydia was a successful businesswoman in Thyatira, and she heard the gospel in Philippi, and she takes the gospel back to her own city and spreads the gospel, and Peter is writing to the church in Thyatira later on. So we have just to be sensitive to the call of the Lord in our life. And we have to accept the closed doors and the open doors, because they are guidance in our life. Lydia was a God-fearing woman, and God opened her heart to the truth, and she believed and saved. Let us see what happened after that. Paul is still staying in Philippi, still preaching, and we'll see what happened. The title here is God Opened the Prison Doors, but how he entered into the prison, that's what we're going to study just now. Once we were going to the place of prayer, again there was no synagogue, so a place of prayer could be outside the city or anywhere they decided to meet. We were met by a slave girl who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. A fortune teller, that's the bottom line. So this girl started to cause some trouble. Let us see what she did. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. So she was a slave girl and doing her business of fortune telling and getting lots of money for her owners. So this girl followed Paul and the rest of us. And because Luke is writing the book of Acts, we believe that Luke is involved in this. So Silas, Paul, and Luke. But Luke didn't enter the prison. So this girl followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." Wow. She's saying the truth, but it's coming from the enemy. Would you accept the testimony of the enemy? No, not really. So Paul refused to accept her testimony because this girl had a big influence in the community because she's telling the future and all of that. So she started to say, these people are believing in the most high God, and listen to them because they are going to tell you the way of salvation. She kept doing that for many days. Finally, Paul became so troubled that he turned around and said to the Spirit, now things start to happen, yeah? In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her. And that happened. At the moment, the Spirit left her. There is a big financial problem because of that. Because she is not going to be a fortune teller anymore. She's not going to earn her masters more money. And they are going to be angry. When the owners of the slave girl realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. I like you to feel the feelings of Paul and Silas at that point. Lord, we are doing your work. We are following your voice in our life. We came to Philippi concluding that this is the place we should be in. And now, after doing your work, we are dragged into the marketplace to face the authority. How would you feel? How would I feel if I was Paul and Silas at that point? Disappointed? Keep that thought in mind and see what happened. They brought them before the magistrates and said, these men are Jews, and they are throwing our city into an uproar by the advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice. So they started to say, this is the accusation, they are Jews, they are to impose their way of life and then way of worship on us. We are Romans, we are proud to be Romans, we are not going to follow this, and they are causing an uproar in the city. The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrate ordered them to be stripped and beaten. Things are getting worse, huh? So the magistrates, now there is power of the authority now, saying to them, okay, do whatever you like with them. They are stripped and beaten. Imagine if I come and preach here and I'm stripped and beaten. Would I come again and visit you? But that's what happened to Paul, the apostle Paul himself, and Silas. Things will get even worse. After they had been severely flogged, have you ever been flogged? They were severely flogged. That's the apostle Paul and Silas. They were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. He put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. What a day. When I read these things, I try to imagine myself living these moments. Would I be happy at all of accepting that this is the will of God and I am okay doing the will of God and that should be all right? I struggled with that. But let us see how they behaved. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Wow! Can you see the challenge in this verse? Imagine yourself spend a day like Paul and Barnabas and Silas, like the day I just described. Would you pray at all at night? Probably I wouldn't. Number two, if you pray, what will your prayer be? I probably say, Lord, I'm really disappointed. I'll start my prayer something like that. I'm really disappointed. I came here depending on the vision and the assurance of you that I'm going here to preach the gospel. And here we are, beaten and flogged and in the inner cell, and this is a failure. That probably will be a type of my prayer. But look what the Bible records about Paul and Silas. About midnight, and it was very dark. They didn't have a switch of the light that they can have a good reading or a spotlight or anything like that. It was dark, and in a prison, and in inner prison, the situation was awful. Would you pray? But look at what they did, and I'll tell you what is the challenging word for me in all of this. We can all have different words to challenge us in this, but I'll tell you what's mine. It is the midnight, obviously, but there is more to that. At the midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. the bit of singing hymns to God is really challenging. If I'm going to sing at all in a situation like this, I will sing silently. I don't want anybody to know I'm singing at that point. But look what happened. And the other prisoners were listening to them. Wow. This is a big challenge. They were not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were very clear in their mind about the power of the gospel and the power of prayer and singing and praising God. They were not praising because we have a good choir around them to help them to praise and to share their faith. They were praising God in difficult circumstances, and the prisoners were listening to them. We all know the events, I'm sure, but let us just go to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everybody's chains came loose. God intervening in a miraculous way. The jailer woke up, and when he saw that the prison doors opened, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. Because as a jailer, he has the responsibility of taking care of the prisoners. And according to the Roman law, if a jailer loses a prisoner, he has to serve the sentence that this prisoner is supposed to serve. So this jailer knew the law very well, and he understood that if he really all the prisoners escape, he will just have to face capital punishment. So he said, I'll better take my sword and kill myself. But Paul shouted, don't harm yourself. We are all here. Feel Paul is in command here. It's not the jailer. Yes, it's a reverse of duties. Paul shouted, don't harm yourself. Again, I find a lot of grace in this statement, actually, because this jailer gave Paul very hard time. If somebody gives you very hard time and he's going to face difficulty, would you be just neutral, let him face the difficulty he's facing? Paul was not like that. He was positively trying to save the life of the jailer, the person who gave him hard time. He flogged him. He caused him trouble. He said, don't harm yourself. We are all here. So despite the chains were broken, still Paul in command and saying, we are all here, nobody will escape. He is in control. That's just wonderful. The jailer called for the lights. It was dark, but Paul and Silas were singing. Rushed in and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, sirs, what must I do to be saved? The wonderful, very famous question that we read in the Bible. This person came to the point of, Lord, I would like to be right with you. I'd like to be saved, not only physically from the punishment of the jail, which is opened, a prison which was opened, but I'd like to be saved. Probably he heard the message of the gospel during the preaching of Paul in these days when he stopped this lady who was with the spirit of fortune teller and all of that. He probably heard all of that. But this is the first time he's facing God and asking how to be saved. And we all know the answer, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. And we know how this person accepted Christ, and he invited Paul and Silas to his home, and he washed their wounds. The flogging, remember that? He washed all of that. And then in the morning, I'll stop here and I'll just tell you what happened. Read chapter 16, it's beautiful. In the morning, the magistrate and the leaders heard about what had happened. And they said, okay, let us release Paul and Silas, let them go quietly from that Philippi and leave the city quietly, and we are all friends again. Paul said, no chance. They came publicly and flogged us. So they have to come publicly because they discovered that Paul has a Roman citizenship. He has the green card. So he has the Roman citizenship. Because of that, he has the Roman rights. And the Roman rights, that means he should be tried proper before he can be put in prison. So they had many legal problems in this event. So Paul said, no chance. They have to come and release us in public. When you read this, why Paul is doing this? Actually, he wanted to save the ministry. Because if Paul was released quietly, the rumors would go out and say, oh, he was criminal, but we just got rid of him. He wanted everybody in the city of Philippi to know that he was righteous, he hasn't done anything wrong, and now he is publicly declared right before them before leaving the town. So we leave Paul at that point, and in the evening meeting, we will see when he wrote from another prison from Rome to the church in Philippi, and we'll study part of chapter 1 in Philippi in the evening. I hope this very quick review of the life of Paul in the second journey, part of the second missionary journey, will help all of us to reconsider lots of practical lessons. I don't know what have you got from this, because everyone will get different lesson today. You might least need to listen to the voice of the Lord. You might accept the closed doors as important as open doors, which is a difficult thing to do. You might learn that when God calls you to do something, it doesn't mean as a plain sailing at all. It can be very difficult, but if God with you, you will be victorious. You might learn that you can sing even at the midnight. You might learn to be brave enough to sing loudly enough for the prisoners to hear you. I find that a great witness, actually, and it's a difficult thing to do. We might need to learn that we can pray and thank God even if the day was tough, like the day that Paul had in Philippi.